Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. Lame. Happy Sabbath. Beautiful. I was thinking just as I was standing there in the back, this is so good. What we have been able to do in this room has been so good. I have been so blessed to be a part of this thing. I was thinking how a group of us, we came together and we just started visioning and coming up with ideas of what this thing could look like. I remember the praise and worship band, Nathan. I remember him starting out, you would forget the words every single Sabbath. you are one of the best praise and worship leaders I've ever worked with. And I just want to acknowledge you today that you have been awesome. You have... He has built up these worship teams. Now we have Tyler and other groups that are just phenomenal. It's been so beautiful. We have a video crew that Tyler's put together. There's actually a camera up there that when it shoots down, it hits my bald spot, and it's really exciting. We have these breakfast crews that come together and make amazing food every single week. We have an audio visual team in the back that put together these videos. This thing has been so stinking fun. And I'm so blessed to be a part of this thing. It's been incredible. We are truly an authentic expression of what the kingdom looks like. When a bunch of people come together, we don't always agree, but we're learning to love each other through it all, and that is just kingdom living. And it's been such a blessing. Before we start, Sarah Carrillo, where are you? I feel like you should be here somewhere. Sarah, yes, I saw you. Come up front, please. Sarah graduated last June from OA. She has joined the Navy. She's heading to basic training next week in Illinois. And Sarah, we're proud of you.
Thank you.
We're proud of you. You're part of our community. And is your family here?
My mom.
Your mom. Mom, come up here. And how about some of her friends? Some of her friends. Why don't you come on up here? I know, Sarah, you have more friends than that. There we go. What I want to do is we're just going to put our hands on you, love you. We're proud of you.
Thank you.
We are so proud of you. And so we want to just say a prayer over you as a community because we love you. We want to honor you in this decision. And wherever you go, you take OC Grace with you. Beautiful. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for Sarah, who is just this beautiful light. And Lord, everywhere she goes, may you continue to use her. May her light just shine. May she reflect your goodness to everyone she meets. And Lord, protect her. Give her opportunities to just continue to thrive. And we as a group, we want to honor her and continue praying, sending messages, giving her letters, money weekly. We thank you for her, and we ask that you will bless her on this new journey. In your name we pray, amen. You can give her a hand. I think that's appropriate. We've been moving through this series, Exodus, and we understand the book of Exodus is really the story of us. As a community and as individuals moving and growing, leaving behind the old, walking in the new, learning, unlearning certain things. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's painful. But that's the beautiful journey and the gift of life that we have. And so today, we're going to move through the plagues. The plagues, it's a confusing story. It's especially confusing when you live in a time where global warming, whether you believe it or not, there are certain things that are happening, and we are in this hurricane season. We just had some riots. We just had some interesting things happen. And there are people right now who are saying, see, God is angry. He's spreading his anger, his wrath, and he's going to destroy everything. This is a sign. You better wake up. That is one narrative. That's one interpretation of viewing the plagues of Exodus as also Revelation. That's one way. But I want to share with you a very Hebraic approach to these plagues, a different way of viewing this that the Israelites themselves saw when they read the story. See, here's the thing about this story. For them, they understood that each one of these plagues, there are 10 of them, by the way, 10 meaning fullness. So 10 different plagues, and each one of the plagues is an attack on one of their gods. And so every time you see this, what this is, the larger picture, is it's an attack on the way of living, the Egyptian way of living, the beastly empire way of living. And so when you understand this, you view this in a much bigger perspective. And you can actually begin to use application to this that will bring healing, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. Let me share with you some ideas. First off, Exodus 7, 14 through 25. What happens here is this: the rivers turn to blood. Now, here in California, we have terrible drinking water, correct? Yeah. And if you don't know, sorry to burst your bubble. It's pretty bad. It's not great drinking water. Now, if our water source turned to blood, things would go quickly in the wrong direction. So I would say our area, our nation would actually begin to experience some really grotesque things. Everything would begin to fall apart. And for an empire, you build an empire first after you have found the water source. And so what's interesting about this is there's the god, Hapi, the god of the Nile. And this god, they understood for the Egyptians, they understood that all life starts there with this god, and they would pray to this god. And so everything starts there. And so the bigger picture here is this: when you begin to follow in the ways of Egypt, when you begin to find life in slavery, when you become a really good slave and you stay there, the beginnings are pretty painful. If you stay in Egypt in slavery, you will be thirsty and you will begin to find that nothing will quench your thirst. The rivers turn to blood. The next one. Exodus 8, 1 through 15. There are all these crazy frogs. Now again, for us, we think, ugh, kind of gross. Bunch of frogs. I don't like frogs. I don't like snakes. I don't like anything amphibious. Just nah. My daughter loves to pick these gross things up, play with them. It's great. Not for me. But for the Egyptians, they understood something. They had this goddess, Heket. The goddess of fertility, water, renewal. And guess what? What kind of head does this god have? Yeah, it's a frog. It's a frog's head. And what you can understand about this is this. This was the god of abundance. Now, here's the thing. Some of you, you move. Some of you, you get a U-Haul, and you call me, the good pastor. Because you know I'll feel guilty, and I'll have to help you move. You'll say, it's his job. I love helping you move. I've helped many people move while I've been here. And what we do is we'll get together, and the really nice people, they'll give us some food. But what we'll do is we'll start packing the U-Haul with all your junk. And what you will at some point say is you will feel a little bit embarrassed because you'll notice we're carrying stuff. You're like, when did you use that last? Why are we carrying this treadmill? You hate running. Well, you never know. I might pick up running again. You'll even say every once in a while, yeah, I probably should have just thrown that out. I was helping Donovan and Kim move the other day. And Donovan, they have this big like wardrobe thing. And as us guys are carrying it, he goes, hey man, if you dropped that, I would thank you. I would pay you. I just got Donovan in a heap of trouble, by the way. Yeah, because sometimes we get a lot of stuff. We get tons of stuff. And in America, we're told the more stuff you have, the happier you are. Except sometimes the overabundance becomes a curse when it's time to move. Do you understand? When it's time to end that relationship, when it's time to end the cycle, when it's time to move, you are all of a sudden attempting to carry all this stuff. And it doesn't work. It's a burden. Abundance is something that is destroying our nation. It's destroying families. It's destroying individuals. The need for abundance. Exodus 16 through 19, the gnats. Now, the gnats to the Hebrews, the gnats is still this concept of the ground on which we depend. And if you look there, there's this god Geb, the god of the earth, the ground, the earth that we stand on. The gnats, all of this is part of that. That god was, everywhere this god would go, the idea was the gnats would follow. What's the first thing you do, men, when you meet someone for the first time, another man? You're talking a little bit, and what will you ultimately say to them? What do you do? You might even ask that as one of the first questions. And I've seen women, women also do this, women and men. What do you do? Because in our culture today, what you do gives you value. What you don't do gives you value. That's a lie, but that's something we have bought into as a culture. It's the lie that we see in the very beginning with the Adam and Eve story. Adama, dirt, ground. When we begin to find our value in the things we do as a culture, we begin to go down some really dangerous roads. It takes us in some dangerous, gross places. If you stay in Egypt, if you continue drinking that kind of water, those kind of values, you will lose your soul. Israel, it's time to leave Egypt. Now, these plagues, what you'll find is this is creation started with God stepping into the chaos, creating order. Egypt's gods step into the order and they create chaos. And it gets worse and worse and worse. And this is the story of Egypt. Let me show you more. Exodus 8, 20 through 32, we have the flies. Now, some of you, you've experienced flies, but you've not experienced flies like this. Can you imagine being there, sitting on the ground, and every time you inhale, a little protein for you. The idea here is that everywhere you go, there's flies. The god Kapiri. Creation, movement, sun, rebirth. The idea is over everything, there was this god for the Egyptians that had the head of a fly. And look at the attack on this god through the story. Every space you inhabit suffers. Let me make this observation. When you begin to, you know it's time to move out of that cycle, out of that broken thing, out of that relationship, whatever it is. You choose to stay in it. What will happen inevitably is every single thing in your life will begin to hurt and struggle. You find value in your work, so you spend all your day at work. You take work home with you, and you have no time for family. Before you know it, that hurts your relationship with your partner. Your kids start to go in different directions. Everything in your life is affected. Israel is told, if you stay there in Egypt, you will experience death and brokenness. Don't stay in this cycle anymore. It continues to escalate. There's more. Exodus 9, 1 through 7, livestock. The idea there is the livestock begin to die, the cattle, all these things. You lose your livelihood. The god Hathor, goddess of love, protection. When you continue going down that road, you will experience more and more brokenness. And the things that you used to depend on, they also become a curse, a plague to you. If you continue going that direction. The idea for Israel is you are not a slave. You are called to be free. But if you stay there, more and more brokenness will follow. Exodus 9, 8 through 12, the boils. Now it begins to affect people physically. And the idea was, the things that once brought healing fall apart. Isis was the god for Egypt that brought healing and medicine and peace. How many of you ever saw those commercials online or on TV? You'll see the pharmaceutical companies are always trying to sell you like the new vaccine, the new drug, whatever it is. You'll see the happy couple running on the beach. I love you. And they're running. And the beach is so happy. And in the background, you'll hear like, Tiagra. Side effects may include depression, diarrhea, death. Did I just say death? Because here's the thing. When you take certain kinds of things that you think are bringing you healing from Egypt, from slavery, if you continue taking that medicine, it's actually not going to heal you. It's going to make you worse. If you continue in that cycle, in that relationship, it will continue bringing you brokenness, and you will get sicker and sicker. I've seen good people lose their integrity, act certain ways because they continue doing the same cycle over and over and over again. It follows them wherever they go. Israel, move away from slavery. Get out of Egypt. Break the cycle. Break the cycle. When you do, you will experience healing. Sotar, salvation. Let me give you more. Exodus 9, 13 through 35 talks about the hail from the sky. And the idea was for the Egyptians, they felt the gods up there were sending down plagues, hurricanes, all these things. And this was the god, of course, Nut. And Nut was the goddess of the sky, a very popular goddess. And so the idea was that we have created these idols, these things in our image, and they send blessings or curses. How many of you have ever been in a line at Walmart? You've been in a line at Walmart. And if you were here in Garden Grove, you were in a line at Walmart for like 20 minutes. And you're in that line and you notice that all the magazine covers are right there and you begin to notice like that person's really fit. Well, I got one ab. I don't think I measure up. Oh, that person's really successful. I don't measure up. And before you know it, the idols that you and I and culture have created, we begin trying to measure up to these things. And when we attempt to do this, it brings pain and brokenness. We forget our value. Scripture says you were made in the image of God. There is beauty. You are a miraculous, living, breathing miracle everywhere you go. Don't buy into Egypt's lies. They will bring brokenness, pain. Exodus 10, 1 through 21 talks about the locusts. And I get, yeah, John the Baptist used to eat them. Here's something bigger I want to share with you. Whenever there is a plague, whether in Revelation, Isaiah, Exodus, when you see the plague with the locusts, understand something. The locusts come in at the end of an empire's fall. And what the locusts do is everything is going to be devoured by their enemies. And historically, we understand this. Whenever empires fall, there's always people to pick up the pieces, aren't there? There's always people to come by afterwards and pick up the pieces, to take what they want. How many of you have ever been kicked when you're down? It's painful. Painful. And they'll just smile at you. God bless you. Oh, painful. The God here that they're referring to, of course, is Seth. Storms, disasters. When you stay in that kind of cycle and that kind of brokenness, when you stay in those relationships, when you continue doing the same thing over and over and over again, you will find yourself broken, hurting, and that's unfortunately when your enemies peak up the most. And then it moves into the very opposite of creation. God steps into chaos, creates order. Egypt, beastly empire, steps into the order and moves toward chaos. And this is what happens. The god Ra, the god of the sun, the Egyptians would worship this god. What happens is when Ra is taken off, the picture when he is no more. The story directly attacks Ra. What happens is everything becomes chaotic. You stay in that thing too long. There is darkness, there's chaos, there's brokenness. It only escalates and gets worse and worse and worse. And lastly, Exodus 11, 1 through 10, the firstborn. What's fascinating about the term the firstborn is that that is the title of the Pharaoh. Everyone say, huh. Yeah. That is the title of Pharaoh. The firstborn. Pharaoh was the picture to the Egyptians of God on earth, the most powerful presence they had. And what happens in this story, in this incident in Exodus, is that the firstborn die. They are no more. When you move in that direction, when you lose, when you stay in that relationship, in that cycle, in that addiction, you lose your integrity. You move toward a place of absolute darkness and death. This story is begging Israel, walk away from that. You have to walk in freedom. There is freedom waiting for you. Walk in freedom. Walk in freedom. Walk in the wisdom that is there. Don't keep doing these vicious cycles that we keep falling into. Walk in the new life that God has given you. Walk in wisdom. 7 years ago, I was on a plane, and I met an individual named Sid. And Sid, he was a really wealthy businessman. He got stuck with me and my wife and our daughter, who was very little, and she was struggling a little bit with an ear thing on the plane. And I could tell he was just like, oh no, it's gonna be a long flight. And I remember him sitting there, and we got to talking. And I was in this place, really ugly place. I had people attacking me. I had a lot of ugly stuff going on behind the scenes. I was struggling. Sid tells me on the plane. He says, Tony, let's meet for dinner. I'm like, okay, let's meet for dinner. So I met with him for dinner. And he gave me all this beautiful wisdom that I didn't follow. Sounded good. I didn't follow it. Ended up very hurt, very broken. Well, just last week, this stuff happens. It's so crazy to me. Just last week, I'm on my phone, Facebook, because that's what I do. I'm on Facebook, and Sid's picture comes up. It says, add a friend. Like, I haven't seen Sid in like 7 years. Sid? Add a friend. And I thought, you know, I'm going to send him a message. Say, hey, man, that wisdom you gave me, I wish I'd followed it. It's really good. I need to live that. Sid writes back, who are you? I said, I'm Tony. Remember me? I'm that guy that you had dinner with? Who? So I start giving him, relaying the story of the horrific plane for him and all these things. He says, oh, I remember you. You were that teacher. I'm like, yes, you remember? You remember? He said, remembers me. Sid says, can I call you? Sid is a very, I'll just say this, very wealthy man. Involved in politics, all these different things. I have no business for him calling me. He calls me. And we start talking. He says, Tony, I want to share something with you. At that point in my life, he said, I had a lot of knowledge, but I wasn't living it either. He said, I lost my company a couple years ago, Tony, because I had all that knowledge, but I wasn't actually walking in it. I shared all this great stuff with people. A lot of it was very Christian. Love your enemy. Treat people like you want to be treated. That kind of stuff. But he said, I wasn't living it. He said, now at 70 years old, I've finally begun to realize I've got to start living that. I started a new business, he said. Things are beginning to change, but I am walking a new kind of life because I'm going to live it now. And I thought, how powerful is that? To walk in the new life, the new kind of freedom, Israel had to do a couple things. Number one, they had to open their eyes. Some of you are in places right now in addictions and cycles and relationships that are hurting you. You continue repeating them. Open your eyes. Be aware of what's been going on. See the goodness, but also the things that haven't been so good that keep following you. Stop repeating the same thing everywhere you go. Open your eyes, be aware. And when you do, you'll see weaknesses and strengths, and you'll be able to build on those, is what Israel does. Some of you have been told you have no value. You have no worth. You have no business trying that new endeavor. You have no business being in a new relationship. That is a lie. That's a lie. You are not a slave. You were created to be free. You are made to be free. Don't believe the lie. Once you understand that those are lies, you begin to confront them. You begin to be a person of integrity. You confront those things. And you start living differently. You start moving in the new. You start acting honestly. And here's the beauty for me. The beauty for me is when you start doing this, when you and I start doing this, when we begin to walk in the new, when we walk away from the cycles and the brokenness, the sick relationships, those sick cycles, those sick things that are hurting you. When you choose to walk in the new thing, here's what I have known to be true. When you choose to walk in the new thing, when you walk through the chaos, through the watery chaos, through the brokenness, when you walk through it, take a moment and just look up. Take a moment and look up, because what you will see is you are not alone. You've never been alone. And there are other people walking it with you that will support you and love you through it all. In my life, there have been people who have said, you need a house? You can live with us. You need money? It's yours. You need someone to talk to, a shoulder to cry on? I'm here. Those people, when you are walking through the brokenness, when you are leaving Egypt, just take a moment. Look up, and you will see that you are not alone. You've never been alone. My prayer for you today is that you may understand that through every trial, through every brokenness, when you are attacked, when you are broken, when you are mistreated, when you are in the relationship, the thing's not working, whatever it is, when you find yourself in the vicious cycle again, you are not alone. And we serve a God that is calling us out of the ugliness into life more abundantly. That is my prayer for all of you today that on this Sabbath, we as a community, as an individual, can walk in the new, can hold each other's hands, walk in the new thing, and bid Egypt farewell. Blessings today.